Well, as well as the wrangling to deal with COVID-19's economic impact, political leaders are also pondering when some of the restrictions on our movement might be lifted, given the cautious optimism about the disease trajectory. This was the New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, today.
I said yesterday that social distancing would be a part of our lives until there was a vaccine or a cure, and that's absolutely the case. We get data on a daily basis from our health experts, and every month our health experts will give us advice as to whether there is an opportunity for us to relax any of the restrictions. And I want to assure the community that if we did go down that path, it would be based on health advice, and we are going to assess that on a month-by-month basis.
Gladys Berejiklian there. Well, the Dean of the Hong Kong University Medical School, epidemiologist Professor Gabriel Leung, echoes that idea. He says we should be ready for several cycles of lifting, then reimposing restrictions until a vaccine is found or until about half the world's population has acquired immunity to this new virus. Professor Leung was the founding director of the World Health Organization's Collaborating Centre for Infectious Disease Epidemiology and Control. He joined me earlier.
I think that we are going to be looking at a few cycles of suppression and lift because we are in a three-way tug-of-war always between health protection, economic preservation, and social consent and people's well-being. And that really is what determines ultimately what each country or city will be doing for the next few months.
What sort of data do governments need to make good decisions, to be able to jump on outbreaks quickly and reliably?
I think what we need to do is look at the evidence. And the evidence, I'm afraid, is not quite as simple as looking at the daily officially reported counts. Number one, there is probably a significant proportion of infected people who are not tested, and therefore they will never show up in those officially reported figures. And secondly, even if you were able to test everybody who may need a test, there is a necessary time lag between the infection event itself through the incubation period to first showing symptoms and then to actually seeking care and then getting the test and then getting the result back. And that delay probably stretches between 10 to 14 days at the best of times. And for those two very large reasons, looking at the daily reported case counts is going to lead to misinformed decisions. And that's why you need to look at what we call the real-time or instantaneous effective reproductive number. That is, on the average, at that particular point in time, if I were infected and I'm a typically infected person, how many other people would I pass it to? That's the number that we should be looking at.
In Australia, there is currently cautious optimism since we closed our borders some weeks ago and returning traveller numbers have slowed, and so infections have also come down. There is currently some talk here about lifting some restrictions soon. That's also cautious talk. What's your advice to Australian authorities in making those decisions?
For large countries like Australia, I think that one needs to be much more contextually specific, i.e. particularly for large cities. They probably are at different stages of the outbreak and therefore would require slightly different sets of interventions that are appropriate for that particular time. And so that's, I think, lesson number one. Lesson number two is one size doesn't fit all, and therefore, other than looking at different contexts, different geographies, and therefore different needs, one should also make very sure, on the other hand, that you have equitable or fair distribution of the necessary resources to fight this pandemic.
And I wondered about your reflections on the situation in Wuhan today. Millions of people there are for the first time in 76 days being freed from their lockdown. I'm sure they're jubilant. Is it a good decision, though?
Lockdowns cannot last forever. One day or another, they have to be carefully, deliberately lifted in stages. And I think that, you know, that really is the key. And also, post hoc, what kind of surveillance and monitoring do you put in place to make so sure that you will pick up any possible recrudescence at the earliest possible opportunity, and then you could very quickly, then if necessary, tighten up physical distancing, quarantine, isolation, and everything that you've done successfully in the past to control it during the first wave. But the prerequisite is massively scaled testing. And only by doing that can you pick up the first few transmission chains, which then you go and do contact tracing, and then you do quarantine, and then you do isolation. And so that's really the whole process. But at the top of that is really massively scaled testing.
Professor Leung, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
The Dean of the Hong Kong University Medical School, Professor Gabrielle Leung.